Okay, welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which I interview New York City's kinda eligible that you can match with, and you can learn more about that at the end of the podcast. It is season 2 finale. Gotta go out with a bang. I know usually I do 14 episodes, but just the way I have some exciting news coming, and I just was ready to end this season, end the year on a good note. You know, 2020, this year's been a piece of shit, and I'm so excited to have my guest on. I, like, was scrambling last minute. If you followed me on Instagram, maybe you saw that. If you don't follow me on Instagram, drinks.first, plug. but my guest today, she's one of my oldest friends, like
super old,
like super old. Like, not that we're old,
we're not
old, but like I have known her for genuinely almost my entire life, and that is why she is so special and so dear to me, because she's an absolute catch. I'm so excited to share her with you guys. I'm gonna let you introduce yourself. Can you let me know how old you are, where you're from, where you're living now, where you went to school, and what you do for work?
Okay. Thanks for that lovely intro kind of thing anyone has ever said about me. So I'm 23. I'm from New York City, born and raised. I still live here on the Upper East Side. And I went to Penn for college.
And what are you doing, like, for work now?
Oh, right, yes. So I work for a media agency as an assistant planner there for a few clients. And, yeah, it's a good time. I'm enjoying it. It's a really nice, you know, first real-person job.
Nice.
I have a workflow set up. I just sit at my desk every day. My room, which is really nice, overlooks the reservoir, so I just kind of like sit here and do my thing. And
oh, that's so nice. It's so, I work like, well, now there's construction going on in my apartment, as
oh,
you know.
No.
So yeah. It's just literally like I hear like outside like my window all day. It's honestly like, that's why I've escaped. For my listeners, I'm in Miami right now. No, I'm not, like, doing the whole COVID flee here for a few days, just to party. I'm here for a few months, nomading, mm-hmm. like, living with my brother and eventually my family again. But, you know, heart lies in New York, as it always
does. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know I'm waiting for you to come back. I text you every day. Being like, all right, so 4 days. Be like, that's enough.
Speaking of New York, what are some of your favorite, like, pre-COVID or even now, like, shout some places out that people can go and support, like, favorite restaurants and, like, favorite Ooh. Going out places, bars,
okay.
things like that.
Okay, so, I would say Pig Heaven is a big one. That is my family's go-to. I love this Vietnamese place. It's aptly called Vietnam. And they just do like the best like rice vermicelli and like all these like soup and like noodle dishes. They do this like papaya salad that is literally incredible. I love this place called Putawn, which is Thai food. It's Putawn. And they work out of this like tiny place, tiny kitchen. They're doing like pickup and delivery right now. And it's just the best like curries and like fried tofu
Yum.
And like all that stuff. So good. In terms of going out, this is like not my forte, I have to say, despite living in the city for so long. I mean, you know that I was like, was pretty lame in high school. Like, I wasn't lame. I just like, wasn't like gathering at the club. I literally don't know, because I haven't been single and in the city for so long. Like, I would often find myself in Brooklyn a lot, just because that's where my then boyfriend liked to hang out, because all his friends were there. And it would be like a shit ton of bar hopping around places that I could not tell you what they were. Or it would be like random places in Midtown that like definitely were not the vibe.
Hey.
Absolutely were not the vibe. And they would be like on Second Ave and like I would just like show up there and like
the things you do for love, honestly.
The things you do for love, seriously. This is the first time I've actually been really truly single in the city and like nothing's open. So I'm like not the person to come to for this.
But we need to give the listeners some background on your love life. So why don't we start from the beginning? Like,
oh my god, define the beginning.
Well, we know each other from high school, which was all girls. So the love life there was
not
interesting.
She was not there.
She was hidden. We didn't know her.
certainly hidden.
Like, tell me a little bit what happened, like, going from high school to college.
Okay. So I want to say in high school, I definitely did not, like, I thought a lot about men, I want to say, more than one should. I never, like, you know, I hate when you, like, get obsessed with people and then they, like, take up so much of your mental energy. Hate that. Obviously had nothing going on in high school. Got to college, and we've talked about this before. I think it was pretty eye-opening in terms of just, like, realizing that men were attracted to you. I feel like I spent a lot of time of high school thinking that I wasn't, you know, the type of girl that men were looking for.
No, it's honestly like this is something maybe that's like hyper focused to our experience, but like I think it is something that like should be said and should be talked about, which was like we went to like a bubble of a high school, like in terms of our community and the kind of people we were surrounded with. We were like very like people of color were definitely a minority and we were in that minority. And I like beauty standards when we were in high school were so skewed. It was like skinny, like stick skinny, like white, like was just kind of what was desired. And I not just you, but when I talked to our other friends who are also like POC who came out of school, they were like, I didn't realize how beautiful I was until I left that environment.
Yeah, that's
just so crazy.
Definitely true. There was definitely a certain ideal that was floating around. So getting to college and kind of feeling desired by men for the first time was, you know, interesting and like probably difficult to navigate now that I'm thinking back on it. But I had a good college experience romantically, I want to say. I kind of did my thing for a few years, dated around, did the whole thing, and then got myself into a serious relationship. Overall, pretty good experience. And now I'm single again. So I don't like know how to explain that.
Well, let's delve in a little bit into the college experience. I want to hear about like some of your like college like exploration before you settle down.
I dabbled around. Like I definitely saw more than a few guys from one particular frat. But then I also, you know, I met people through my classes, which I thought was a great way to meet people. I actually wish that I'd kind of dated around even a bit more than I already did. I mean, first of all, what does dating even mean in college? It's like, at least at Penn, it was like kind of non-existent, like wasn't really a thing. Like tried and true, like actual courting, like going out to get drinks and stuff was not a thing at Penn.
No, I honestly like don't think that was a thing in any college. I'm trying to like remember
I don't think so.
A guy like asked even one of my friends out to be like, oh, let's go get a drink at where the fucking college bar. Like, no,
I know.
It was always like, oh, we hooked up and now we're like hooking up consistently. And now it's like been a few months. And like, what are we? Like, that's how dating is in college. Okay, wait. So summer after sophomore year, you get into a serious relationship. What is up with that?
Right. So I ended up in a relationship that I totally did not expect to happen. It was actually someone that I'd been seeing my freshman year. And then things just kind of phased out freshman year. And then it was sort of rekindled moving into my junior year. Yeah, this was definitely like my first, I'd had like situations before, but this was definitely my first real serious, pretty long relationship. And I don't have a single bad thing to say about him. He's a great guy. But I think it was sort of one of those situations where once you leave college, you realize a little bit more that you are pretty different. Or like personally for me, I felt like I had outgrown the relationship. And which is scary because, you know, you're so madly in love with this person for so long. And then it just feels like a switch goes off in your head and things completely change. But yeah, we were together for 2.5 years, which is definitely a decent amount of time.
And it's a long time.
It's a long time. Yeah, definitely a long time. And we'd been seeing each other for much longer than that before we'd even started dating. So really more like 3 years. Mm-hmm. But he was the year above me, which ended up like complicating things, which I didn't expect. It was just, you know, like we did the long distance thing when I was a senior and he was already out of college. And that was hard because it was balancing like spending my senior year and having fun. And then also, you know, making the commute to go see him basically. And I can't drive, so I don't have a car. So that definitely...
I mean, me too, so...
I think it would be really hard for me to get into another long-distance relationship without having a car and knowing how to drive it. I spent a lot of time on the train, which was just, like, not it. And the megabus and the bus.
Like we said, like, you're really doing things for somebody that you love. You know you love someone when you trek your ass to Port Authority every weekend.
Yeah. That is very much true. Very much true. Can't even, and it's like a lot of money. Like people Mega and like Bolt Bus are like cheap. Back then, like if you booked one for the weekend, it was like $20 there and back. It's like $40 a weekend plus like that train ticket.
You keep doing it like over and over again. No, it adds up. It totally adds up. Well, I mean, we're not gonna like harp too much on your past relationship because it like doesn't, I mean, it affects like who you are now and who you are today, but it's like doesn't really matter right now in hindsight because you're like past it. What have you learned from it? Like what have you taken away from it? Because you guys broke up earlier this year, early 2020.
Yeah, it was literally actually the week that the week that New York City went into lockdown. Like I remember that I got the notice that I was gonna start working from home at work. That day I went and got dinner with him and we had a conversation that kind of naturally led into the breakup. The next day I started working from home and then everything happened. Like the timing was crazy. So I literally entered the pandemic as a single woman for the first time in like 3 years. And I
Which is really crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Literally you were like in a relationship for nearly 3 years. All of a sudden you're single and you can't fucking leave your house.
Yeah. Yeah. That was tough because
what?
I have to say like one of the sort of indicators that I like wanted to end the relationship with this guy was that I was just like kind of noticing other men more. Like you would be at the bars and like I would kind of be like, I wish I had the freedom to go and flirt with that guy, you know? So I actually was very excited to get back out there. I was like, this is great. I really want to date around and have some fun. You know, I'm in my 20s. I'm finally back in the city, my home. All my friends are here. Let's do it. That was really tough. I did, as you know, dabble on the apps.
Right.
It was not a fun time.
I mean, let's get into it. Like,
oh my god,
I think you have like some pretty good stories from this quarantine year. Like, pretty much being a single girl, like, in a pandemic.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because I actually like full on counted the other day, and I think I have been in like almost 7 independent talking stages with guys throughout the quarantine. First of all,
not the talking stage.
All I'm gonna say is that is not a flex. That is not something, you know, to be happy about. Because like at this point, it's like, okay, so this is clearly a me thing. Like, it's not like,
no, it's not a you thing. I think it's also like, what the fuck do people think they're gonna expect like out of this year? New York is locking down again. It was like always like there. Nobody knew what was happening the next day. So like, searching for a relationship during this pandemic like is a very like non-realistic thing to do. So like, I think it's totally fine that you've been in like 7 talking stages. For our listeners, let's define what a talking stage is.
Sure. Okay. Well, I feel like everyone's, you know, definitions may be different. I think of it as like kind of like a primer for when you actually meet up. Like, actually, you know what? I think like a talking stage can include a date or two, but I think it like comes before the real meat of like whatever your situation is going to be with this person. I think it's like, for me personally, it's a lot of like texting, FaceTimes. I don't use Snapchat anymore. I think I'm too old for that, but
I know when guys are like, what's your Snap? I'm like, are you 14? Like,
yeah, no, I don't give that out. It's nothing. That period where you like really start to get to know someone, whether that's phone calls or texting. And like, a lot of the times, like, I find myself getting more invested during that period, and I find myself like getting really excited to like meet up with this person, or see them again if I've already seen them. I don't know. How would you define it? That's how I define it.
More of what you said, like, you're in the beginning, maybe you've gone on like 1 or 2 dates, but it's like it's gearing up maybe to be like, all right, you're going on like your 3rd date, your 4th date. Like, yeah. Maybe you start expecting a little more from the conversation than like 8 hours between replies, you know?
Yes. Don't love that 24-hour response time, personally.
Okay. Anybody who fucking does that, you better have a better excuse. Like, you better have a good-ass excuse. Yeah. For not responding, because everybody is on their phone at every point of time. If they're on their computer, they're probably on their phone. If they have an Apple Watch, they are probably seeing your texts. Like, it's more probable that somebody is looking at your text messages than them missing it for 24 hours.
Absolutely. Especially when, like, okay, like, I know we talk about this sometimes, but I hate when I'm waiting for a guy to respond to me and they are fucking looking at my Instagram stories. I'm like, you are making it adamantly clear to me that you are purposefully ignoring me. Make it make sense.
You sent me that TikTok the other day, which was like, my friend.
Like, you're constantly bringing me back down to earth and humbling me, because I'll be like, oh my god, like, he's liking my Instagram, he's watching my stories, this must mean something, right? And Ariana will be like, it means jack shit. Like,
I'm like, people watch your, like, I need the reminder sometimes too, because I'm like, oh my god, this person's watching my story. But then you realize, like, wait, like, it's literally an algorithm. It's takes literally more work. It takes more work to not watch somebody's story than it does to literally, like, click and swipe through stories and just, you don't know who's showing up next. So it's like, oh, he's watching my stories, or like he's in the top like 10 people on my stories. Like, that doesn't mean shit.
I know. And like, you're constantly telling me that. And I'm like, you are correct.
No, I need the reminder too. Cause I'm like, I'll still be like looking through the people who've looked at my story and I'm like, and yeah, then I'm like, no, wait, that doesn't mean anything. But like, the only time I think Instagram like means something is if you, like, actively, you know, like when guys will like go to your page and then like 10 photos in a row. Literally,
that's what happened with me and that guy in Philly. Oh my god, he would independently like go to my profile and like scroll back and like pick like 10 photos and like them. I mean, that is like a wild story in itself, but like,
no, let's talk about this guy. Let's talk about this guy, because honestly, men really do have the audacity.
It was like not the best. I mean, I'm just gonna premise this with saying, like, this has not been a good time for me romantically. Like, I had really horrible luck. Like, even my guy friends have been like, I'm gonna be real here, like, I think your luck is terrible. Like, really terrible. I mean, I'm sure there are other factors, but yeah, I don't even know how this happened, but this guy was following me on Instagram and I was following him. I don't know when that happened, but it happened at some point. And he DM'd me, and first of all, my DMs are a scary place, as you know.
Your DMs are like the fucking Wild West. It's so funny.
Like, I don't know. The last few months, like, my DMs have been really rogue, but he DM'd me and was like, I love this photo that you took. Can I have a print of it? And I was like, sure. I'm so happy that you like it. Like, I'm happy to send you one. He was like, oh, well.
And this is not like a crazy request, because you are like a photographer as well.
Yeah, not a crazy request at all. So he ends up paying me for it. I send it to him, and things kind of like take off a little bit from there. We're kind of just like DMing a lot. He's from Philly, and I end up messaging him being like, hey, I and one of my best friends, aka you, are coming down to Philly for the weekend. Are you around? And he was like, yes, absolutely. Would love to meet up. And I was like, great. Didn't happen. We like were texting.
It did not happen.
Did not come to fruition, to say the least. We were texting like leading up to it, and he was like, let me know when you're in town. We were texting like once I was actually in town, and then when it came to the day that we were supposed to meet up, he told me that he like had a family emergency, basically, which is totally understandable. I'm not one to like question those kind of things.
And he had sent you like the sweetest text, and both you and I were like, this guy is being genuine, like, clearly something's going on.
And it's like totally not my business, and like he does not need to explain it to me, basically. The rest of the weekend, I remember like he was still messaging me, and so I was like, okay, like, this feels like a legitimate excuse. And then we had an amazing time in Philly.
Hell yeah, we did.
I was like, I had such an amazing time in Philly. I would love to come back just by myself. So that's exactly what I did. I came back to Philly for 2 weeks and just stayed there and saw a bunch of my friends that were there because I went to college there. And while I was there, I was like, I could just like hit this guy up and like see if he's around. Like, I'm going to be here for 2 weeks. Why not? So I text him and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in Philly for 2 weeks. Let's do something. He takes a while to respond, which like probably was the first red flag, but like, what can I say? And he finally responds and he like apologizes and is like, I'm so sorry for, you know, basically leaving you undelivered for so long. I would love to see you. What are you doing this weekend? And like, we just went back and forth a few times trying to coordinate. And finally he was like, what are you doing? Because I was there for like the last weekend that I was going to be there. And I was like, hey, like, to be honest, like, one of my best friends is coming down to hang out with me. Like, I want to spend time with her. So I think this is a wash. And we never spoke again.
But the thing that was, like, so crazy about him was, like, the whole reason we brought this up was he was doing the whole, like, not texting you back and watching all of your stories in between texts. So, we clearly know you're looking at your phone.
He would also story reply to me in between the texts, which I thought was bizarre. Like, he wouldn't text me back, but then he would separately story respond to me.
The whole thing was super weird, and, like, to add to it, he was, like, 30-something.
Yeah, so I, like, had this epiphany halfway through quarantine, which was that I would like to be dating older guys. And he was, like, 32, 33, which was kind of, like, what I was looking for at the time. I can't say that's the same now. Like, I think what I would say now is that I just wouldn't date anyone younger than me. But, yeah, he was, like, 32, and I remember texting you being, like, when do the games fucking end? Because this man is a decade older than us, and the shit is still happening.
It does not, it clearly does not end. Cause
it does not end.
Guy who was, like, 33, someone I know, like, was seeing somebody who was 10 years older than her, and they, like, had a great weekend together, and she was also thinking the same thing, which was, maybe I could date older, because it's just, like, men take so much longer to mature, it's just more of a similar wavelength, and they're a little more established, like, you would hope they're a little more established, like, in their career and what they want and all these things. And like, things fell off after that first weekend. But she texted him, like, literally months later, texted him being like, hey, like, what's up? How are you? He takes 24 hours to respond and replies.
24 hour, like, 23rd hour, I'm losing hope. 24, literally, I'm like, it's done.
Literally, he responds. He responds, horrible. You?
Oh my god. Not quite the answer I was looking for.
No, sir, you are 33 years old. Why do you think that's a good idea to text? Like, why even respond at that point? Like,
no, I know. It's like, what
are you, like, looking for somebody 10 years younger than you to, like,
tell you what to do, or, like,
like, console you in your life? Like, clearly something is going on. Somebody tell me out there when this shit stops, because, like, listen, we don't know.
Things are looking dark. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, it's looking like 10 more years of games in my future, and I don't love that.
What's honestly fucked up too is that as women grow older, the pool to date grows smaller.
Yeah,
and as men grow older, the pool to date grows bigger.
That's very true. I never thought about it that way, but yeah.
But, like, long story short, like, it seems like men really don't get their shit, like, together.
33 or 23, they appear to be very much similar, if not the same.
Right.
That was just one of many situations that really seemed like was gonna happen and then did not. I've had so many situations during quarantine where things are going so great.
You were the first, like, person actually who, like, had any situation during quarantine, because, like, you had met someone off of Hinge, like, the first week of quarantine.
I did. And that went downhill so fast. I mean, not so
fast. No, not so fast. We were talking
for, like, over a month. But
you did video dates.
Yeah, we were doing the FaceTime dates. And, like, they were long. they were long. That was
definitely. And he was rogue. Like, he didn't he?
Define rogue.
I mean, did he ask you to do the, like, 36 questions or some shit like that?
Yes, we did do the New York Times 36 questions to follow them. All I'm going to say is that was not my suggestion. And I actually think, so, you know, naturally was a super intense FaceTime. And I actually think the following week was the week he told me he would like to stop speaking. And I was like, okay, so I just told you about my childhood drama 3 days ago. And
now
you're like, I'm out. He was like, can't do this. No, I mean, listen, it was completely impractical because he was leaving the city because the city was shutting down.
There was no end in sight.
There was no end in sight. You know, it, of course it was disappointing because we'd gotten to know each other over like almost 2 months, I want to say. It was so long ago at this point. I can't even remember. So of course it was like disappointing that the world was not in a state where like, I think the problem was, is that like at least I felt like there was a lot of potential and not actually being able to act upon that. And it being completely out of anyone's control. Like, it's like we were both single, same age, you know, similar backgrounds, and perfect on paper situation. And then you just have COVID, which is like completely out of everyone's control. And just thinking about the potential that the two of you would have had is like kind of excruciating. It's just like
totally
so hard. Cause you're like, if only this one pandemic that could have happened at any point in my life could have happened when I was 5, could have happened when I was 10, and it decided to strike. I mean, listen, there's no like good time for a pandemic to hit, but for me it was like, I'm newly single.
You were so freshly single.
The reason why I ended my relationship, part of it was because I wanted to be single and I wanted to be out there meeting people. So it felt like it was tough. Yeah. Horrible timing. And I went through that exact situation so many times over and over again.
Multiple times this year, which is so crazy. But yeah, this is the thing, like, and it's so important to note, it is very much not you. It's very much the situation at hand. Like, I really, like, I know people who were doing the whole, like, quarantine dating and, like, FaceTiming and meeting up, even getting to the point where they could meet up, get a drink, go for a walk in the park. It has not worked out for a lot of people. And I think this year has just been like a total wash. It's been a total wash. It's like, how are you supposed to like build a lasting relationship? I mean, people can do it, but it's so much harder. And like statistically, dating is already fucking so hard.
So fucking hard, especially in New York. Like, it already sucks. Like, it really does.
Were you meeting all of these guys like from the past year off of Hinge or like
no okay. I'm trying to think.
Well, there was obviously like older Instagram guy.
Yeah, older Instagram guy was obviously from Instagram. I've had a few like older flames kind of come back into my inbox when I think it became a little more clear that I was single.
Oh, that's tea. Cause like because you broke up so right when things were locking down, like people didn't know you were single. People and like, it's not like you're putting a story out there being like, oh, woohoo! No.
I am single. Announcement, I'm single.
I'm single.
Like, no. Yeah, it was like it was subtle. Like, but I think during the summer is when I noticed other people noticing that I was not in this serious relationship anymore. And I could tell because my DMs started to get a little weird. And
I wish you could like give us some highlights from your DMs. Like,
yeah, like there was like, I'm trying to think, like, just like guys that I went to school with. There was, and we were talking about this earlier, there was like one day when I woke up and I had these notifications and they were all insane. I had like one text from a guy telling me he didn't want to talk anymore because of the pandemic. I had another text from a guy that I'd like just met off of Hinge. I think it was something like, oh, like, I actually can't even remember. Something like music related. And then I had like a third Snapchat from this guy I used to go to school with. And it was like a selfie of him in bed with this very long caption, and it was like 8:30 in the morning, and I opened this and I was like, what is this?
What was the caption?
It was like a long enough caption where like he had to use two separate lines within
the
and like, I had
what
not
was the caption?
In a
what
while.
Was the
and
caption?
So it was something along the lines of hey, like I'm just like shooting my shot here and which was really sweet. Like I think you're really cool and like I think he the phrasing of this makes me laugh because I just like, I don't know. The phrasing was like, I think you're really cool and really, really hot. and then it was also like, I know like nothing is probably going to come of this. And like, I'm sure like you don't feel the same way, but like, I just wanted to shoot my shot. And I was like, first of all, if you had an inkling that nothing would come from this,
why?
And also an inkling that I don't feel the same way, and also we haven't directly talked in quite a while, I'm not exactly sure what prompted you to send this at 10 p.m. at night. And I think I replied in the chat section just being like, thank you, that's really flattering and nice of you to say. This was then immediately followed by, you know, him being in my DMs slash Snapchat at least once a month.
You're like, sir, this was not an invite.
Almost always immediately following when I would post something on Instagram. It was like clockwork. And it had been a while since I'd experienced something like that because, again, I had not been single for a while, and like I had a pretty, not like I wouldn't say public relationship, it's not like we were fucking celebrities, but it was like known, I guess, amongst our friends, and you know.
But it's just so funny, like how and like crazy how much social media has played into like this year and like connecting.
It is insane.
And it's also funny that you, like, mentioned that there was this one day that all these crazy things happened to you, because I feel like that's always how it happened.
But yeah, I would say it's been a mix of people finding me through Instagram. I have a lot of, like, kind of random people in my Instagram DMs that I genuinely don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, they are strangers. And Hinge. And then just, like...
Do you use, friends. Like, Tinder or Bumble or anything like that?
I occasionally will log on to Bumble. I have the most luck with Hinge. I know you hate Hinge. But,
no, but Hinge, I see it. Hinge really works for you. I'm just going to go on this rant for a second.
Yeah, please do.
Which literally, okay. Here's my rant, because enough people have heard about why I don't think Hinge personally works for me. But this is my rant related to all dating apps, which is just like any company, you need to make money. So a dating app like Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, like they are at the end of the day companies. And Hinge will say like their motto is designed to be deleted. But if it really was, like the amount of data all of these companies have on me is just actually, and you and everyone, it's like actually ridiculous. Like, I've been on Tinder since I was 16. Like, I've had enough data collected on how long I spend on someone's profile, who I swipe right for, who I swipe left for, to the point that it's like, if they wanted to, they would serve up the people that they think you would like the most and the people who they think would like you the most. And things like Hinge, like, they have the most compatible feature, but that is, like, notoriously shitty. Like everybody's like this horrible. Like have you seen that TikTok of that girl who was like my most compatible is some guy named Ghost
and, and he's like holding a gun.
Yeah, literally, like we all know Hinge woke up in the morning and chose violence, like
literally.
But
and, like a great example of this, we were talking about this, is the new dumb as fuck roses feature.
Exactly. That was exactly where I was about to go, because it's like that is the perfect example of a company like Hinge having all of your data knowing what prompts you would respond to, what guy physically you would like, serving them up to you on a silver platter and saying, well, you can only have one of these. And
I know.
One is fucking weird. Like, we can talk about the whole roses thing, but it's like, you can only have one of these, but we know. We just want to let you know that we know. Like,
oh my God.
Exactly the right person for you, or like the kind of person you would be interested in. But because they make money off of how much time you like spend on the app, how much like Bumble and Tinder, they like advertise on swipe cards, like within the app. Like, they know, like, they know they want you to keep swiping left and right. Yeah. Like, that is what keeps them in business. So, no, it's not designed to be deleted.
It's straight up not. Like, I took one look at my roses tab whenever it came out, and I was like, I find all of these men extremely attractive.
Yeah. And, like, crazy. These prompts are, like, funny. Like, people responded, like, well to them.
Exactly. And I was like, where have you been hiding these guys? Like, within the actual algorithm.
I think what they were trying to do is, like, make it similar to, like, a super like or, like, something. So, like, on Tinder, everybody gets one super like a day. I think that's what it is. So, like, when I get a super like on Tinder, it's like, oh, well, that's flattering, but I'm not that, like, freaked out about it. Right? But, like, when it happens to me on Bumble, when I get, like, super swiped on Bumble, it's a little different because you have to pay for those. So I know at that point.
You have to pay for those? I did not know that.
Yeah.
I feel so bad.
I know. At that point, I know a guy has paid
to do this. I legitimately, first of all, I've never super swiped anyone in my life, but I did not know that. I almost never swipe right on my super swipes.
I know.
I don't know why that's how it is, but that is how it is. And now I feel like a terrible person.
No, but like, that's what's so crazy. The Bumble ones are like, you have to pay for them. And there's like certain features on Bumble that guys will do. Like, I think, I'm not sure that you can like extend one match a day on Bumble, but like, if guys are extending like multiple matches, like you don't know that, like then they're paying for it. And then Hinge with the new roses feature, it's once a week. Everybody gets one once a week. That's like kind of weird. Like
it is weird. I've received a few, like, and I have been like not weirded out, but a little weirded out. like I don't know. And like, it has nothing to do with the guy, what they look like, any, I think like literally if anyone did that for me, I would be like, ah, that's really flattering, but like, that's a lot. Even though it's just a dating app and it's meant to be like that. I'm trying to think of what the equivalent would be in real life to giving someone a rose. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like equivalent to just being like super forward and upfront about your attraction to someone.
Yeah, which like, can sometimes come off as aggressive.
Especially if you don't know that person well. And, like, these are strangers. Like, you don't know who they are. So it just, like, is weird. I don't know. It's not, like, I think, like, they could have added something else that would have
been. Yeah, there needed to be, like, a little Hinge. We are giving you literally free user, like, testing advice. Like, oh take God, it. Literally take it. Like, it's. Honestly, I've been feeling this way recently about all dating apps, and I am a huge proponent for dating apps. You know that. Like, I've talked about it on the podcast. I met my ex off of Bumble. Mm-hmm. Like, it is totally possible to have, like, a meaningful, good relationship with somebody that you've met off of a dating app. But, at this point in my life, like, personally, and we talked about this recently, I think I'm, like, ready to delete them and just, like, see what happens. Like, it's come to that point.
Yeah.
I'm, like, I'm spending so much time, like, doing what the apps want me to do, which is swiping left and right and, like, feeding them information for me to get what? Like, a meaningless conversation one night that will never amount into anything. Like, some guy asking for my Snapchat. Somebody asked. Oh, another thing that I hate. I don't know how you feel about this. You tell me. I don't like giving my Instagram to guys on dating apps.
I don't like it either.
Don't have it on my profile.
I don't like it either. I mean, my Instagram is public, which is already a little questionable. And my name is very particular. It's a very, like, unique name. So if they really wanted to, they could go find it. But I agree, I don't love giving it out to people. But I think also, and let me know if you agree with this, my Instagram is like a much more unfiltered and personal thing for me.
I think your Instagram, even mine, like I just think Instagram's more personal, but we're both public on Instagram. So it's not like, I'm not trying to hide my personal life from anyone on like a dating app, but I find more often than not when guys are asking for my Instagram, it's like, what's the point? Like, you want to start DMing me? Like, I don't, I also don't, I personally don't like following people I don't know. So like, same. If I'm going to give my guy, like, some guy my Instagram, then what? Like, I just get, like, some other random guy who's going to be in my DMs. Like, I don't really want that.
Like, I don't want that either.
And this guy, like, asked me for my Instagram recently, and I was like, I honestly don't really like giving it. Well, he was like, can I have your Instagram? I feel like it's better to get to know somebody. Which, like, yes.
It's true. That is
true. Which is true. Which is true. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't really love giving it out because it's just like, we can have a conversation on this app. That's why it was built. Like, I don't need to transfer like our conversation to another way of messaging unless it's like a text message, which I think is like a different story.
A lot. I have found that a lot of guys will sort of assume certain things about me and my personality type after looking at my Instagram. And will go into conversations with me with this like sort of image that they have built for me based off of my social media presence. And that has happened a few times. And I just like don't love that. Like, I'm a creative person. And so like that is like clear for my Instagram. And like I've had people be like, oh, like you're so like alternative and you're so like, I don't know, like, I get told a lot that I'm, like, intimidating and stuff like that. And I attribute that to my Instagram, honestly.
You can't control the way that somebody's going to look at your social media and how they're going to, like, formulate an opinion off of you. Which is why I like to try and keep it, like, far away from any of that. But I know some people are really quick to, like, put their Instagram on their dating apps because, like, they want followers and things like that. Another question is, like, do you find it attractive if a guy doesn't have social media?
Yes. And also, it is so hot.
But do you find it attractive if a guy has social media and has, like, a shit ton of followers and he's, like, verified or something? Like, is that hot?
No. I do not find the blue check attractive. I've had a few blue checks in my DMs and they mean nothing. Like, and that isn't even a flex. Like, that is not like hard to do, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't find the blue check any more attractive than anything else. I do think it's really hot when a guy does not have social media.
Yeah. And I mean, like, we were just talking about this, but Ariana Grande just got engaged. Her fiance, like,
so
is
low-key.
So low-key, really, is like low-key. Private on Instagram, like, is like the minute they were announced dating, like, he's some big luxury real estate agent or whatever in LA, and it just seems like he's not in it for the clout, which is like
great.
That's hot.
I will say, like, this is like kind of related, kind of unrelated, but my ex-boyfriend was one of those guys who was really low-key on social media, but he was very, like, aware of the fact that he was low-key and wanted to keep it low-key. It wasn't, like, a natural, I'm just low-key because I'm actually low-key. It was, like, I want to keep...
I'm trying to be low-key.
Trying to keep it low-key. To the point where he never posted photos of me. We dated for 2.5 years. I think there are 2 photos of me on his Instagram to date. One, you can't see my face. It's like me on his shoulders and it's like a mirror selfie. and my head is not in it. It's literally just like my legs and my torso. Sounds weird. I don't know how to explain it. It was just like a goofy mirror or something. But like my head is not in it. My face is not in it. And then there's one more, and I'm like in a hat, but I'm looking down. I'm wearing like this crazy winter hat that I used to wear, and I'm looking down, and you can't see my face. And
do you think that's like a red flag?
So looking back on it, yes. And we had a lot of fights about it. When we first started dating, we would get into these massive fights where I would be like, it like feels like you don't want people to know that we're dating, which I don't really understand why, because everyone already knows that we're dating.
Yeah.
Never put up photos of me on social media. And it's not because you don't use social media. You have a very curated image, it seems. And like, I just feels like I don't fit into that for you for whatever reason. So
what was his response to that? Like,
it was very much like, I just like, this is a lot, like, this is a lot of PDA, like, I just like, I don't know, like, it was my first real relationship, so I definitely kind of like forced myself to get over it at the time.
My face is literally like contorted. I'm like, what the fuck?
You're like, what the actual fuck? I know. And like, he was like on, I would post photos of us together all the time on my Instagram. And like, I can only imagine how that looked to the outside world. Like me putting him on my Instagram, them going to his profile and seeing that I'm nowhere to be found. Nothing. He used to never like my Instagrams either. He would like, what? And we would get into fights about it.
So weird. That is so weird.
Yeah. We would get into fights about it all the time. So that was his argument, which was, who cares, you know?
No, but you're going out of your way to do something that you would naturally be doing. So, like,
yeah.
Clearly, you care. What? Yeah.
It was crazy. And, like, it was definitely, it was hurtful. That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
It definitely, like, bruised, like, the relationship a little bit. Not to mention that he would, like, still like photos from that girls he used to have things with.
Yeah, that's like fucking weird. That's,
and it just was like, it was like, nah, it was not okay. We would fight about it all the time. That, so like, Instagram was like a big source of conflict for us for quite a while. Social media in general too.
That's so crazy. Like, yeah, that's absolutely insane.
So like, there is a difference between like wanting to give off the vibe that you're super low key and actually just not giving a shit to the point where you are legitimately, genuinely not active on these platforms.
Yeah.
The latter one is really hot, I think.
So what are we looking for now?
Oh, well, yeah, now that we look towards the future.
2021, baby. We're so close to 2021. So close. We are so close to some sense of normalcy. I really think we're over the hump in terms of this, coronavirus.
I totally agree. I've said this to you before, but I am looking for like a really like normal dude, like just like an average, not average, but like just like a not super complicated guy. The number one for me, first of all, I actually genuinely don't pay attention to looks that much. Like, I actually,
I can attest.
Excuse me?
I'm joking.
Oh my God. I think someone who makes me laugh is like definitely my number one thing. You know. Other than that, I am seriously not picky. I don't, like, think I have a particular type. You might
disagree. That is definitely false. I feel like you and I share the same exact
type. Okay, but I've sent you photos of a few guys recently, and you've been like, what's going on here?
That is true.
So that is true. I don't know if we're exactly the same. One thing I love about Ariana, for all the listeners here, is she just really brings me back down to earth, is insanely honest, and just We'll straight up tell it how it is.
Stop. No, maybe you're maybe more forgiving than I am. But what? I know what you deserve. And so I don't think you should be settling. But that's just me. I'm not. That being said, like, you totally, like, past few guys, you know, maybe, like.
Define past few. Like, past three?
I'm losing count of, like, who was where in, like, the line of suitors.
Mm. Oh, like, my God. That's one way to put it.
I mean, you know, I'm thinking of one in particular who just, like, he really tried his luck in the worst way. Like, we're not. This man, like, her friend, like, they were hanging out. Not hanging. They've hung out before because they're friends. But they were talking. And then, she, like, things were maybe gearing up towards, like, being, like, maybe something romantic. Mm-hmm. And you, because you guys were friends, you were, like, straight up with him. And he was like, let's explore this. Like, kind of vague answer, but, like, not no. After After you vibe checked, it was a not no.
Yeah, I think I actually, in fact, was like, can I get a vibe check? Because I'm a little confused.
You had every right to be confused.
Yeah, I mean, that was extremely disappointing and a hard pill to swallow. And he was another one of those guys where I had a very long FaceTime with. And it seemed like, you know, the banter was on point. And I feel like it's really easy to tell when you're not vibing with someone. Yeah. Like, it's a two-way street. So, like, it's pretty easy to tell. And I very much was like, we're vibing. This is great. Things are going super well. I think, like, we've set the stage here. And then immediately it turned into, like, a, I don't even know. Like, things just, like, fizzled out, that, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, it's just, like, stupid shit again. Like, oh, you text, it takes a long time to get a response. Like, he texts, well, now you don't really feel like responding. Yeah. And then it's just, like, dumb. It's just dumb. Like, and
what happens is you end up mirroring their energy.
Yeah, like, totally.
If you're taking two fucking days to respond, like, I am gonna notice and just kind of be like, that didn't feel great. And I feel negatively, honestly, towards you now. And so as a result, I am also going to take, like, a day or two to respond. And that's just, like, how things end up fizzling out, honestly.
I mean,
that's happened to me on more than one occasion, like, specifically with male friends. Mm-hmm. So that's always a bummer because it's, like, the friendship is ruined. And now things are awkward. And, you know, who's to say if things will ever go back to being normal? And we talk about male friendships all the time, but yeah, that, you know, it's always a bummer when, like, you see the potential, take a chance, and it totally does not pay off in any way.
I know. And it all comes back. It's, like, full circle. It comes back to, like, I mean, like, you were in all-girls school for your whole life. So it's just, like, to have platonic relationships with men, like, it was very natural to me always because I grew up with guys and, like, some of my closest friends are guys and they are still my closest friend. And, like, I won't think of them in any way beyond, like, this person is, I've known them my whole life and I can talk to them about anything. Just like I look at you and, like, talk to you the way that I talk to my guy friends. And I feel like maybe necessarily you haven't had that experience because you weren't introduced to, like, men earlier, you know? Yeah. And so
totally agree. And I talk about this with people in our grade all the time. I have found it extremely difficult to have purely platonic male friendships. I don't know if it's, like, a me thing or if it's, like, a 50-50 kind of thing. I'm sure it's more of a 50-50 kind of thing. I honestly think I've been through, like maybe six or seven, like, close male friendships with people who I, like, genuinely thought were my friend and had the situation turn on me a little bit. And not for the, a lot of the times, like, not being able to just go back to being friends.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because, like, it's, like, I look at my guy friends and the people I'm, like, very close with, and that was all built off of, like, a foundation of history. Like, my close guy friends I've known since I was, like, preschool, middle school, like, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I have, like, really close guy friends from college that, like, I mean, dynamic is different. Like, things in some way sometimes start off, like there's a possibility of it not just being platonic. Mm-hmm. Or it either starts off or it can develop to being that. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you have guy friends who have been around, you know, for 2 decades, you're mm-hmm. not, like, you don't really have that what-if question. But absolutely. That what-if question can totally exist. Like, when you just meet somebody and you've known them for, like, 2 years or, like, a year and, like, mm-hmm. there's a friendship there. But that being said, like, doesn't mean, like, we're ruling you should or, like, continue to, like, rule out guys who are your friends to be, like, a romantic interest in the future. It's just, mm-hmm. like, it's not easy, like, when you're in a situation, like, you are in to foster those relationships. It's just not. Especially at this age, like, when you're meeting guys, I don't think their first inkling is, like, wow, she'd be a really great friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I might be wrong. I might be generalizing. Yeah, I'd love to hear from my listeners, please.
A really good example of this, and we're going to have to bleep out his name. One of my really good friends, he's just the best. Like, I, you know, like, think he's the greatest. I actually genuinely, like, would never cross that boundary with him. I definitely issued a warning
Hung
out with him, which was that he's the greatest, the best, is going to be so much fun. I do have an inkling that he will try to fuck me.
And I was like, you're joking. Like, no way. Like, you're just, like, over-exaggerating. She was not over-exaggerating. I was actually shocked.
I'm so open to him about the fact that I know that he would if he could.
I was open with
and, like, he has the type of personality where we can definitely joke about it, but it's just, like, we are only friends, but, like, it's just this unspoken thing where, like, I don't know, like, if the moment was right, like, maybe something would happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like,
yeah. And I really hate the concept of a friend zone, because it's, yeah, like,
I do too.
When guys think that they've been, and we're just want to preface, like, clearly we're only talking about this in, like, a heterosexual relationship sense, because that is the experience that we've had, but, like, mm-hmm. this is applicable to everyone. But, like, the friend zone is not a thing. The friend zone only is, like, a term to make people feel better because they initially expected something that wasn't friendship. Yes. Being friend zoned inherently implies that you had a shot at something else more than friendship to begin with. And nobody is entitled to anything. Nobody is entitled to anything. So when somebody says that they're in the friend zone, I'm like, you're developing a normal relationship with someone. Like, what?
Yeah, I know. And, like, I almost kind of love how me and this guy have this dynamic where, like, we're totally open with each other about the fact that he is attracted to me. Like, and we can acknowledge it and know that it's present and, like, continue to be friends. And, like, I think that's something that's pretty rare. I don't know, like, I don't really have that kind of open, like, dialogue with any of my male friends. Of course there's a fine line where if it were to, like, manifest into something more, like, at that point, like, a discussion would have to be held, but, like, for the time being, I think it's totally fine, like, to, like, be open with your friends and be like, yeah, like, I think you're an attractive person, but, like, right now we're just friends.
Like, yeah, I hope, like, my friends think I'm attractive. I would love if they, like, be kind of offended if they were like, no, you're fucking ugly. Literally, like, one day my guy friends and I got super drunk and, like, I let them have my phone and they just, like, I was like, you can go on Tinder because I don't use Tinder. Yeah. And they were like, really funny. I woke up in the morning to like such rogue messages from men because they sent some crazy shit out.
Oh my God.
Unrelated. I've been on
Tinder so long for that reason.
No, Tinder literally is the Wild West.
I feel like being half Asian and on Tinder is like insane.
Dude, honestly, like, I feel like you get it, but like the fetishization. Like, the fetishization is bad.
Bad. Yeah, I'm not even full Asian. I'm only half. And it's still pretty bad.
But in a way, it's like, that's still like people's kink, you know? It's like, it's
definitely a type. It's something I've noticed. Yeah, I have noticed, like, people I've seen in the past have definitely seen half Asians before me. Whether that's a coincidence or not, I have no idea, but
I mean, it's kind of crazy because I was talking to my last guest about this as well, my last female guest, and she was Black, and she was like, it's weird because, like, at the same time, we look at men, and, like, if they've dated 10 white girls in a row, we don't question it if they start dating you. But, like, if they dated all, like, half Asian women, or they dated all, like, Indian women, then we're like, oh, man, that's fucking weird. Like,
yeah, I definitely, yeah, I, like, I was seeing this guy over the summer. I went on a few dates with him, and I remember him saying to me something like, oh, like, I'm so excited to meet up with you because, like, you just have, like, a lot of looks going on. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And he was like, oh, like, I never would have guessed that you were half Asian, which, first of all, like, I feel like you can totally guess that I'm half Asian. Like, you have that, like, ambiguous vibe, and I was like, okay, I see.
No, like, literally the hole was being dug deeper and deeper, like.
He, like, pulled up my profile, my Bumble profile, and he was like, oh, these looks you have, like, you're in this dress here, like, you're sitting on the bench here, and I was like, all right, I get it.
I would just be like, enough, like.
Yeah. I think, like, it's gotten a little bit better on the apps. Like, back when we were in high school, point blank men would be like asking what I was all the time. And like, it's definitely improved. As we've gotten older, they tend to not ask, honestly, anymore. Which, at least.
Yeah, a good thing. The thing is like, when I felt the most comfortable in relationships, like, whether it be about like my ethnicity, my background, like, my body, like, any of these things, are when it's never brought up to me, which, like, that's what it should be. Like, the minute I've been in, like, things with guys and they, like, make comments about, like, any of those things to me, and I'm like, all of a sudden I become aware of it, and, like, once I become aware of it, I'm, like, totally in my head about it. But when I think, like, the healthiest thing is, like, to just never, like, I'm not saying to, like, never talk about it ever, but it's, like, when you're first dating somebody, to make them feel comfortable, I personally feel like, don't bring up, like, oh, like, what are you? Or, like, I've gotten such crazy comments. I've been like, oh, like, you're so confident in your body. I'm like, what am I supposed to be? Like,
I remember you telling me about that, and I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I know. I'm like,
say that.
Am I, like, not supposed to be? Like, why am I getting, like, and then I was not thinking about it, and then all of a sudden I start thinking about it, because I'm like, you're clearly thinking about it, so now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I remember, like, one time I didn't even hear it directly. Someone, like, came to me and told me when we were in high school, and this is, like, a time when, like, I personally was really insecure. Very much had a horrible internalized male gaze because I felt like no guy was, like, into me. And I was, like, constantly wondering why. And I remember someone told me that this guy was talking about me and said, oh, yeah, she is a really fat ass for an Asian. And ever since that comment was made about my body, this was, like, however many years ago, it is like something that has like permeated a lot of my like relationships, like a lot of my like how I think about myself and my body, and like
it sticks with you.
Wrong with having a fat ass. Having a fat ass is a beautiful thing.
Truly a gorgeous thing.
That and being like, that's so crazy that that guy said that about me.
It's also crazy because it's not something you think about. Like the thought that then you start thinking about the fact that somebody else is looking at you and thinking about you, and like cares enough to talk about it.
And like incorporated my Asian-ness and my race, and I was just like, what does that even mean for an Asian? Like, what does that mean? Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, the best thing to do when you are, like, in the beginning stages of a relationship are to be respectful and not to fucking talk about it. Like, just make the person you're with feel good. And that's, like, on And to some people, they think, like, that guy saying that to me was, like, in his mind, a compliment. But, like, that in itself, like, made me realize, like, we were not aligned.
No,
I do not take something like that as a compliment. I get it might be meant that way, but it's like, that's just not how I communicate and who I click with. But
agreed.
Okay, well, I've taken up a lot of your time and we've gone through a lot of really great things, but we have one more section. It's called Shots. You're familiar with it. We do rapid fire questions. You have to answer them like boom, boom, boom. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready? Ready to do some shots?
Yes, I am.
All right. Early bird or night owl?
Can I say early bird? Yeah.
Work hard or play hard?
Work hard.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
TikTok or Instagram?
Oh, that's hard. Right now, TikTok. I love TikTok right now.
Money or fame?
I think money.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Coffee or drink state?
Drinks first, baby.
Favorite season?
Spring.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
Oh my god. I don't remember this being a thing. like, in terms of, like, just, like, the whole package or, like, purely physical?
Take it as, hey, what would you rate yourself out of 10?
I would say a 6.75.
Okay. What is your drink of choice?
Actually, sorry. I'm going to round up. I think I'm a solid 7.
Okay. Rapid fire.
All I'm going to say is that I feel like women have a tendency to like downplay. So I don't know. Like that's why I rounded up. But like maybe it's higher. I don't know.
What is your drink of choice?
Well, you know that it's a vodka soda because we both are vodka soda people. But I would also probably do an espresso martini for like my second round.
Good choice. What is your favorite song at the moment?
Maybe Tokyo by Phoebe Bridgers.
That was on Obama's playlist.
It was. That man has amazing taste.
Yes, he does. What's your favorite dating app?
Hinge, definitely.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Oh my gosh. I would name it She's All Right.
She's All Right.
Both the boat and the owner of the boat. Like, I don't see like having a really nice boat in my future. It's probably like a tiny speedboat. Like
my baby, you know, over there, she's all right. All right. Thank you so much for being on, for being the final guest of season 2.
Ooh, thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Yeah, of course. Guys, men, if you are interested in matching with our guest, this is our last guest for a little while, just because, like I said, end of season two. If you're interested in her or you're interested in any of our past episodes, please DM at drinks.first on Instagram to match with these amazing, amazing guests. If you don't have an Instagram, you can email drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, all of the things at ariana.nathani. And please, let's ramp it up for season three. Like, share, review, do all of the things. We are hopefully coming at you with our next season of Cocktail Hour, where we talk to influencers about their dating lives and the sort of expertise they can give. So stay tuned for that. And on that note, thank you so much. This has been an absolutely insane and crazy year. I am so blessed that I've been able to do this and grow this despite the shit show that was 2020. And I will see all of you in 2021. Thanks.